Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We're here. We're here. You know what? You know what? Let's just jump right into this. I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
And Meech and Meech presents
the Blurred City Podcast.
All right. So today, you know, we're coming at you live here with our third in our series of pain. Our character analysis on three characters whose philosophies, whose way of life is based around pain. And there's a reason I'm just jumping into this one right away, because we're talking about him. Talking about Hemi John. We're talking about the GOAT himself. We're talking about young Aaron Yeager out here in the cut from Attack on Titan. I'm too excited about this. You know what? I'm speed running through this. The purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources we reference are owned by their respective companies, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion is advised. And then also, we have a spoiler warning for the end of Attack on Titan. You want to know why? Because we are spoiling the mess out of his entire character arc, all right? Seeing him, his evolution, if you will. So if you have not seen Attack on Titan, first of all, what is you doing? Secondly, why are you listening to us? Go watch Attack on Titan, then come back and listen to this episode. All right, help us with the algorithm, you know what I'm saying? So go ahead, do that, and just, yeah, take it away. Take away other Demetrius.
Yes, so for this case study, again, so for character studies, we often take a character, we break down their whole entire character art, backstory, in this case, philosophy, the philosophy of pain, interactions with the main character. This is the main character of all main characters, if you will. So we've done Venom. We've previously, the last 2 weeks, done Scar from Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, and then Pain from Naruto Shippuden. So with this, we are getting into Aaron Yeager, Child of Emir, Survey Corps Scout, Attack Titan, Warhammer Titan. If you don't know what Warhammer Titan is, please watch Season 4, Founding Titan, and Destroyer of Humanity. I mean, with this, there's no other way to start than with Season 1 and the birth of a monster.
Yep. First of all, we start off with, you know, everybody in the village, you know, everybody out here behind the walls of Walsina, Maria and Rose. Aaron, you know, he got his best friends, Mikasa, baby girl, and then we got Armin, you know, his best bro. No, they just chilling. They living life. They living good, you know what I'm saying? Of course, Aaron daddy, he ain't there for pretty dark reasons, but we get into that later. But yeah, and then just out of nowhere, bada boom, Colossal Titan comes in, breaks the wall. Then Armored Titan comes in, bada boom, breaks through another. And a bunch of Titans just start coming in and start eating everybody. And who just so happens to be the main victim of a smiling Titan? Aaron's mama. And you should have known that Aaron's mama was going to get taken out, because she had the stereotypical hair braid. And you know it too, because every single anime mother who has that specific braid gets put in a pack.
Yes.
Every last one. Edward Elric's mother had the braids gone. Aaron's mama gone. But this set Aaron on the path, because he had to watch as his mother died, and he was only like 10. He couldn't do anything about it, but best believe he now got that motivation. He got that motivation to kill all Titans.
And even before that, I know it gets revealed later in like the seasons, but just kind of like progressively story-wise, Aaron caught bodies before this, as we all know. So I believe him and Mikasa both got kidnapped at the same time, or is it one and got kidnapped?
Yeah.
And he tried to, okay.
So actually, it was Mikasa who was kidnapped.
Yeah.
And
okay.
It was a year before D-Day, as I'm going to call it. A year before D-Day. And Eren, he caught bodies.
Yeah. So I went to save him. And so Eren, as a 10-year-old or 9-year-old in this case, already has bodies on his list. And he just saw, like, the devastation of his entire village. He thought everyone thought the walls were safe. He thought, you know, they could explore beyond it one day. And just to, like, have your whole world come crashing down. There are real world parallels. You can substitute Titans with a litany of other things, but just sticking with his character's story arc, going from there, he's now like, oh, I want to be a scout. Again, I have the, if you know his entire arc, he's like, okay, I want to kill my enemies. Right now, his enemies are Titans. As we progress later on, his enemies become something else. So if you want to take over from there.
Ooh, yeah.
As he joins the Survey Corps.
Yep, he joins the Corps, he joins the Cadet Corps, he's training with a bunch of people, you know, he's starting to make large amount of friends, you know, he meet up with Connie, Sasha, Reiner, Bertolt, Annie, everything good, you know, he struggles a bit in his training, you know, he has the heart, but...
He got cheated, too.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He had a little bit of trouble, especially in the combat section, because he got paired up with Annie and, well, we knew how that was going to turn out. And he also got cheated, was about to get cheated with the omnidirectional gear, but he passed through. He chilling, everything good. And then what do you know, while they were just prepping, bam, Colossal Titan just reappears out of nowhere, breaks open the wall again.
I guess.
Again. And this time just a bunch of Titans are attacking in Mall Maria, and everybody Dougie, folks is dying left and right. Armin is straight up about to get eaten by a Titan. No, Eren trying to come and help. He gets his leg bitten off, and then he saves Armin.
Lord have mercy.
Telling him to live, and then he gets eaten too.
But the thing is, before even getting to that part, I believe this is the scene where he jumps in and he's the first one to go after their Colossal Titan.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Like, again, Colossal Titan, huge, the hugest Titan you could ever see. And Eren is saying,
fight.
Run me my fame for my, this is for my moms.
And he went after him too. I mean, obviously, as we know, the Colossal Titan is way too hard to cut into, but yeah, this. Like you mentioned, when he saved Armin and then got eaten, this is episode 7. So this is kind of when, like, obviously episode 1 is devastation. So, like, not, and again, this is before anime is, like, super popular. So when we jump into it and we get to episode 7, it's like, yo, I thought he was the main character. What is happening? And you can see just, like, the devastation of Armin. Mikasa just gives up on the trying to live. And then all of a sudden we see a Titan being different from all the other Titans.
Yep, because after 2 episodes of not seeing Eren, you just see a black-haired Titan just lay them hands, put them paws on other Titans, and everyone's just like, hey, yo, what's with that Titan? It's like, and they're like, we don't know, he's killing other Titans, let's just use them to their advantage. And eventually he tires out, and it's revealed that a Titan was Eren. Somehow he transformed into a Titan inside the belly of the other Titan, and all of a sudden everybody, like all of the higher ups, they're terrified of him now, because yes. Like, hold on, you're a Titan. Like, are you like a sleeper agent, or are you like here to destroy us all from within? He's like, no, I'm just here to kill Titans. I don't know what else to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I got these powers, but, and of course, later on, we're going to get into how he got the powers, but
yes.
But essentially, he tries convincing everybody, like, hey, I can control these abilities. I don't feast on other humans. I'm not like the other Titans. I'm not feral, but I am feral against these Titans, you know what I'm saying?
And then, yes, as they say, as we learn later on, like when you're in your earlier Titan stages of turning, you kind of can't control it as well.
Yep. So essentially, like, And then our goat Levi comes in. He gives Aaron a quick boot to the face, but he spares him. He's like, hey, he now going to be under my watch. He going to be part of the Survey Corps along with all the other goats. I was about to say all the expendables, but these characters are named. They ain't expendable yet.
I also like the scene where they're like, oh no, we about to kill you right now, and they shot the cannons, and then you protect them, Mikasa and Armin.
Protected them, he just partially transforms, like, nah.
Yes.
Listen. And I think this moment, he's like, hold on. I remember this. He's like, hey, listen, I'm not an enemy to humanity. I'm an ally to humanity, but if you harm anyone that I love, I will come after you. And at first you think like, oh snap, that's a cold line. That's a cold protagonist line. Little did we know.
And that also ties into another thing that we'll tie into later. During the training arc, when Aaron was kind of down, Reiner told him to keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So that will tie in later. So, but we can continue after Levi recruits him and he has to learn to trust people before someone came and destroyed that trust.
Yeah, because then suddenly another anomaly came in called a female Titan with suspicious blonde hair and was keenly aware of their plans and how to defend themselves against the Titan. You're just like, hey, yo, what?
Yes.
And the first time Aaron tried to fight it, it pieced him up almost as badly as when Annie pieced him up. Wink, wink.
Yes.
And then it's eventually revealed through Armin figuring out that it was Annie. Annie was the female Titan the entire time after she went absolutely rogue, killing a bunch of characters, a bunch of friends left and right. And this triggered Aaron
mm-hmm.
in a way that we have not seen at this point. Cause at this point, Aaron, he was just there. He was aware. He's like, okay, I'm here. I'm in full control. Bam, let's get it. Nah, when he transforms into his Titan form to fight Annie for that second round, he was feral.
Yes.
Because he went and destroyed her. He was biting like her. She had to crystallize herself to basically save her own life to be mm-hmm. stuck in a crystal form. And Aaron, he just did not care. And in fact, and this is like where another kind of line he says, like, I'm going to destroy everything. He said, like, he was like, Titans, I'm killing everything. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. That should have been our other red flag alert.
Rumbling.
It was rumbling and it's about to be the humbling. But yeah, so essentially this is the end of season one. Like he fights Annie, nearly kills her, and then like he returns back to everybody, and then he finds out like, oh, what's that in the wall? And then you see that in the walls are Titans, and that's how season one ends.
That was a crazy ending. Just one other thing is that during season one, there is a plan to seal the Trost Gate with that. So the whole, like, when they first learn that he's a Titan, how to utilize that to seal the gates. And then again, it's crazy because, again, he's been through a lot. But then when he, once, like, Levi is like, hey, we got this. Trust in your senpais. Believe in us. You don't have to take on the responsibility of saving everyone on your own, which is really important later on, and then to have that faith broken by Annie so quickly is crazy. And at this point, watching the anime, I still don't understand what the Titans really are. So then we transition into season two.
Oh Lord, and this is where things get crazy. Cause all right, so Hanji-san, you know, she's like, hey, Aaron, since you've seen that, like, Annie can, like, use that hardening, what if you can do that, too, to help seal off Wall Rose from all the damage that's been done? And eventually he does it, but then the betrayals continue. And in the worst possible way possible. So Aaron, he just out here on top of the on top of the wall, and then in the most casual, nonchalant way possible, you just hear from Reiner that, hey, I'm the Colossal Titan. Bertolt is the Colossal Titan.
Yeah.
I'm the Armored Titan. Bertolt is the Colossal Titan. And Aaron, he's just like, wait, huh?
Nani?
And everybody here in the audience, we were just like, excuse me?
Bam, I remember watching this scene. It was like right when, because they went on like a 4-year hiatus, I believe, the anime, and it came back, and I was like a watch party with this. I yelled at this part because I was like, what? I've literally seen both of these dudes almost get eaten multiple times. How are you a Titan?
But the worst part is that, and this is how you know Isayama a goat, is that you rewind back to those scenes, and you start seeing like moments where it looks like Bertolt and Reiner, they about to bite their hands to transform. You're just like, whoa, so they was about to go active immediately.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
Speaking of getting active immediately.
I love this fight.
Firstly, Mikasa just says, kill, and just immediately goes for the kill. They both transform, and then in an awesome moment, as Aaron is falling, he's just like, and he's crying because he's like, he's processing that his two friends are traitors too, and he still probably hasn't gotten over Annie yet. So that's three of his crew that are straight Titans, and he's like, transforms and gets to boxing.
Yes, and the thing is, it's like, it's not even that they were just Titans. Like the anyone is like, okay, yes, you betrayed us. Bertolt and Reiner are the ones directly responsible for his, well, essentially directly responsible for his mom getting eaten and his world falling apart. So, I mean, just for that, and then that fight scene, him taking Annie's, like, techniques and being able to fight Reiner. I don't know how Reiner survived this series. I have no idea how he's...
You know good and well why. He's the Armor Titan.
The plot armor?
Yes. He is the plot armor Titan. All right?
So, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, so essentially at this point, like, they throw in hands, but then Bertolt just captures... he captures our boy in the... and basically, like, they kidnap Aaron.
And Emir, I believe, at this time.
Yes, and Emir.
Who we don't know what her Titan is, but it turns out it's the Jaw Titan, I believe.
Yep. So, yeah, and then basically just trying to, like, explain themselves, like, hey, I was like, hey, we know you're Titans, and, like, we don't know, like, how you got these abilities, but we know about this thing called the Founding Titan, and it might be you. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And all the while, like, Aaron, like, how they kept him like active is that they keep cutting off his arms, which led to one funny moment where Aaron, he just broke free and just started beating up Reiner with the nubs. He said, like, even though I don't have these arms, these hands are still free. These hands are still free. But yeah, so eventually Aaron, he gets rescued by Erwin and everybody, and then we find a specific moment where Aaron is out in a field with Mikasa. He can't transform because he's like all tired out. And the Smiling Titan pulls up, the same one that killed his mama.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron, he just filled with hate right now. And he's just like, listen, I'm going to try to protect Mikasa because Mikasa out right now.
Yep.
And he just throws a regular punch. Like, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out swinging.
Mm-hmm.
And he unknowingly activates the Founding Titan, which is inside him. And it allowed him to control all the other feral titans in the area to attack and devour the Smiling Titan.
Yeah.
Massacred. And with that, the season ends with him just like, I'm with him realizing what he did. He's like, hey, now he changes from, I'm going to learn how to control these titans and I'm going to get my get back on Reiner and Bertolt.
Yeah.
They are my enemies now.
And at the time in season two, they called that power the coordinate, I believe. But also, as we transition into season three, I have to say this for Isayama. season three might be, obviously season four had a lot of like twists and turns. Season three might be the most well-written season in anime history because there was a lot that they had to connect together between season two and season four that if season three fumbled the bag, a lot of people would have been turned off on. So as we get into the actual true backstory of the entire world, essentially, that's kind of where we go to. So at this point, it starts to transition from a survival to a more political, ideological type show. But one of the key things that they had to do was try to seal wall. Was it Maria? Right?
Yep.
The first wall. So we go from there. And that had one of the craziest like ending scenes of the first episode.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, this one probably had to be the best fight scene, but because it involved Eren getting hit with tranquilizers, you see other people pull up with ODM gear and shooting bullets.
Yeah.
And this is the first time you see bullets in the series. So they out here with the toolies, out here with the doolies killing folk. And then in comes our goat Levi, saying like, I am here to run the smoke with anybody who my enemy. But unfortunately, this is not a Levi episode. if you want to hear us talk about Levi, then go ahead, let us know. You know, give us a comment like, hey, I want to see a Levi episode, then we'll do it. We'll do it expeditiously. But in any case, like Eren is kidnapped and he wakes up in a crystal cavern and he's gagged up, but then he's like, hold on. I feel like I've been here before. And you're just like, at first you pay no mind to it. And then the rest of the series happened. You're just like, Isayama, you the goat.
yeah. So Rod Reese, I believe.
Yes. Yes. Rod Reese kidnaps him and also kidnaps Krista, whose real name is Historia. And it turns out that she's part of the royal family who are able to like use the full power of the Titans alongside Rod Reese, who I think's her dad, I remember correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's her dad. And they realize, like, hold on, the power of the founding Titan, the Titan who's able to control all the other Titans, is Eren.
Mm-hmm.
So Historia, we need you to transform to a Titan, eat him,
yes,
and then you'll have the Fountain Titan powers and it'll be back in our family and we can like write everything and we'll be able to control everything. All right. But neither of them believe it. And they're like, all right, then we're just going to touch you. Pause. All the way pause on that. But yeah, Historia, just touch Eren's back and then you'll see. Because it turns out like if you have the royal blood is what's needed to activate the founding Titan's power.
Yep.
So she just touches his back and then bam, he gets like a bunch of memories. The primary one being that he ate his dad.
Yes. Which was a definite turn because one of the key things throughout the entire season, well, throughout the entire first two and a half seasons of the show, was to get to the basement. That was the only thing he remembered about his absentee daddy for the longest time. And it follows up later, but yes. And then also one question I did have, maybe it's explained, I don't really recall. How come you think he didn't see his future then, like when he saw it at the end of season three, when he like made the face?
Oh, so like why he didn't see everything just then?
Yeah.
Who knows? Probably because he was unaware. Maybe it's just the fact that he's just like, maybe he did see, but like he's so focused on like his dad at the moment that like it just goes right to his memories. Or maybe it's because of the fact his dad had the Fountain Titan abilities. So so pretty much it goes like backwards. So it started with him.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it just be like the amount of time that Historia touched Eren. You don't know.
Yes. So one thing with this is relatively important. I hope I explained it correctly. But with the entire Founding Titan and then all why they're on parody, I believe it's explained here. Is it a little bit later?
It's starts here and then you get morbid towards the end.
Okay, so just light expression. Carl Fritz, we'll talk about Marley in season four, part of it, but Carl Fritz essentially swore off war and he was a part of the royal family. He had the founding titan, caused everyone to go to Parody Island and he erased their memories, which ties into Rod Reese being like, hey, Storia, if you eat Aaron, we gain the founding titan back into our bloodline, which Aaron's dad did on his own volition.
Yep, he sure did on his own volition.
Which is why we believe he's a villain.
he is the villain. What you mean? It's all about Aaron versus his dad.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can go from there.
All right. So, essentially, basically, at the end of it, we're speed running through this, is that, Aaron, he breaks free, but he doesn't want to, transform into a titan because of the fact, he remembers what his dad did, and he actually just wants to die. But then he gets motivated by the crew again, and he's like, hold on, everybody's going to die if I don't do something. Boom, transforms. He transforms into his Titan form. He managed to fully get the hardening / armor abilities in deck.
Mm-hmm.
And Rod ends up becoming a Colossal Titan.
The Worm Titan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He becomes just the Ugly Titan. I'm going to call it that.
Disgusting.
He's the Ugly Titan because just good heavens. But yeah, so essentially he had to die. So he gets taken out and eventually Aaron and them, they're like, all right, what's our new game plan now? Cause we don't know what to do. But so Historia is now the new queen and she's in charge now. But then we still have some loose ends.
Yes. So what's the order of this part? I believe it's Wall Maria, then the basement, right?
Yes.
So we can talk about somebody getting...
Absolutely. All right. Oh. If you want to take away.
So with that, the plan again is to, now that Aaron learns his hardening technique, is for him to plug Wall Maria, which is the first wall taken out by Bertolt, the Colossal Titan. So he's going to use his hardening to find that. And then if they can do that, they protect the inner three, all three walls now, and then explore outside of it. So with that mission, they also run into the Beast Titan, which leads to one of the greatest speeches of all times and one of the most, a lot of messed up deaths. This season, this battle was wild. So I don't think we learn who Zeke is at this time, right?
No, not yet.
Okay, so with that, we still know that the Beast Titan is an absolute problem because he was one of the first Titans that could actually talk clearly, and that scene terrified me.
100%, because you're just like, hold on, who is this? And then remember, in the intro, no, it was the outros. The outros showed just a bunch of animals, and from the very beginning, we're just like, what in the world is that all about? And then you see this colossal, this behemoth, and you're just like, hold on. And he's called the Beast Titan.
Mm-hmm.
What you on about? What you on about?
So with that, Bertolt and Reiner, again, are maybe not necessarily aware of the plans, but they are ops in this situation. And so with that, Aaron is kind of like, oh, I have to get to the wall. But Bertolt takes him out. And in the scene, and they have a plan for him, but... unfortunately involves Armin being turned into a barbecue, quite literally.
Yeah, he became became a roast beef, he became a roasted pack, but hey, Bertolt got taken out.
And this is where I kind of mentioned one of the craziest, and because I believe it was it started getting weird where they started to split the season, but it was season three, part two, the end of the first episode, it showed Mikasa about to go one-on-one with Levi. And you were like, what is happening right now? But essentially, after Erwin makes his brave sacrifice to give Levi the opportunity to take out the Beast Titan, all of them are presented with a choice. So Armin is barely alive, but also Erwin, Commander Erwin.
Oh yeah. Also, I forgot to mention that it's Aaron who takes out the Colossal. He's the one who takes out Bertolt. in his human form. So retribution for mama. Retribution for mama.
So with that, they're all presented with a choice. Do I save Armin or do I save Captain Commander Erwin? Which was, that was actually a tough like mental dilemma. Ultimately, if you're still listening to this podcast, you know what happened and who they chose. But I mean, they're really about to go one-on-one with Levi. And I think here we can kind of talk about the friendships that Eren built with Mikasa and also Armin.
Yeah, like they are literally like they are the three, I was about to say the three stooges, the three musketeers. They are the trio. They are like tight knit because they've been with each other since the beginning. Armin, he's the smart one. He's the one who smart one, but also has the heart. Eren, he's just out here. He's just the murderer. And then Mikasa is the demon.
Say the passionate one. Or like the energy of the group, the ringleader, if you will.
Nah, he is straight up the murder hobo of the group. What you mean? Do you not remember him catching bodies for Mikasa?
I'm aware. I'm fully aware. So like we get flashbacks throughout just them going through their training arcs, and this ties into the ending of the show ultimately on how important those two were in understanding and believing in Eren. So with that, again, they ultimately choose Armin. Then now that they've closed Wall Maria, they're able to go into the explore outside of the walls. And then they finally find the basement, which is like, this is where everything took a turn. And I'm not going to lie, season 3 is kind of confusing when you first watch it. And then when you get into season 4, you're like, oh, this makes so much sense. So we get a kind of a flashback of, oh man, I can't remember the Attack Titan before Grisha.
I forgot his name.
But there's a part where he calls out Armin and Mikasa.
He's like, save Armin and Mikasa. And that was at like the end of the episode. You're just like,
yes.
The heck?
And
it's a flashback?
So they explain it in season 4, so we don't necessarily have to just say it, but it again shows the camaraderie and how important those two are in Eren's life. And then also we turns out, yeah, go ahead. I was about to talk about the rose, but yeah.
Oh no, I was gonna talk about the identity of the smiling titan.
Yeah, so we were on the same page.
Yep. Where it's revealed that smiling titan, the one who ate Eren's mama, the one who got devoured by a bunch of titans, was actually Grisha, aka Eren's father's first wife.
Crazy.
And also it was revealed at this moment that she also gave birth to a son.
Yes.
And I don't believe like we know exactly like who.
I think it's hinted at. Yeah.
Yeah.
They
straight up say like that the child that she bore was Zeke.
Because he betrayed his dad ultimately. Yeah.
Yeah. So literally turns out. So in other words, Eren's mama got taken out by Grisha's side chick. That's crazy. That's crazy.
That wasn't the side chick. The mom was the side.
Hey. To Eren, she was the side piece.
The old chick.
Yep, but also Eren gets all of his dad's memories. And what were you going to say about
him? I was just going to say that Dina Fritz, Fritz is of the royal family. So when he punched her, and like you mentioned, and they connected, that was how he was able to access the coordinate or the founding titan's power, which again, season 2 into season 3, excellent writing. And then how that ties into the whole Zeke connection going into season 4. So I believe after that, yeah, they get into just the award ceremony for closing the wall, and then also completing the mission of finding the basement. And then, yes, there's another serum within it. And then the part where it's really confusing until you get to season 4. So at it, he holds Soria's hand and kisses it. And you just see a look of pure shock, terror. Like he completely
changed,
yes, completely changes at this moment. And nobody knows what he just saw.
Yep. And also it's revealed in the basement that there is an outside world, that there is another another location, which ties into the finale where everyone's standing on the beach. They're looking at water for the first time. And then you just cut over to Aaron, just looking disheveled, pointing a finger out at the sea. And he's like, I wonder, are all of our enemies over there? And then they're like, perhaps. And he's like, gonna kill them. We gonna kill them all.
If I kill all my enemies, will I be free?
Will I kill all my enemies, I will be free.
Yeah. So then we get to season four. Where man spun the block.
Oh, no, he didn't just spin the block. He spun the block. He made it double. He came back with a fear vengeance that needs to be studied.
All right. So, again, this is just a character study. So there's a lot that goes into season four before we find, well, see Aaron and then figure out who he is in the early initial stages of it. But essentially, a lot happened in the background where there was a, undercover covert operation, that's what I'm looking for, where they went into Marley, took a boat, and they were just living life. No one knew who they were, because at this time everyone understood that Paradise Island is still isolated. They can't get contact. So this is where the King Fritz ties into it, where and we also learned that, but Carl Fritz aided the rise of Marley and then the fall of Eldia, because at this time the Eldians were way too strong of an empire. He saw how like dangerous the Titans were, and he just wanted to like consolidate that power. But there's no way he could do it with the nobles at the time, because they would obviously, if you're the most powerful entity in the world, you're not going to be like, hey, let's get weaker. And this kind of ties in again, since we're talking about the philosophy of pain, they gave their enemies like the opportunity to overcome them. And this is leading to the conditions which led to the rumbling, essentially, even though he wanted peace, which is crazy.
Didn't want peace at this point. Well,
I'm talking about Carl Fritz, not.
I was about to say, this man,
no,
this man did not come for peace, but yeah, that's definitely true there. And yeah, you do learn a lot about that scenario, but yeah, there's so much that happened in the background, so much that happens and is revealed in flashback, but back in the present. Nah. So first of all, basically the first few episodes of this season, it's basically a reverse of season one. So yep. It's following all of the Marleyans. It's following it's following Reiner. Actually, yeah. Zeke does appear, but
he is. Yeah, he's one of the main people.
He follows the cart titan, baby girl.
Pete.
And then Flock. Oh, not Flock, Falco, and then
Ace Gabby.
And then the somehow still living person. But
I wanna touch on that once we finish the character study on like the reversal of it all. But yeah.
Yeah. So and then we see like how radical Gabby is about the devils of paradise and everything. So you see like the brainwashing of everything,
which is crazy. Again, the philosophy of pain. She's an Eldian. All of the special titans who are called warriors are Eldians, and the Eldians are almost less than second class citizens, to be honest with you, because in the flashback we see that his dad's sister, or we can just say Aaron's aunt, was killed by dogs just for existing, essentially. So like the conditions in which the Eldians are being elevated in Marley are horrendous, and the warriors believe the more they serve the Marleyans, they can be a quote unquote honorary Marleyan, which is wild. Yep. But essentially, go ahead.
I was gonna say, so we just not gonna gloss over to have they making the Eldians hate their own race.
Exactly,
man. That sounds very topical right by now. So I'm very topical.
So a lot of this, the backstory, again, like you mentioned in the first couple episodes, but like with Carl Fritz and everything, that's explained on stage and in, I believe it's episode four of season four. And at the same time, underneath the stage, Aaron, who is going by a different name at the time, tricked Falco. So essentially, he's like posing as a post-war veteran I believe. So he has injuries, like he's missing limbs, his eyes covered up. And then Falco is like, yo, Reiner, come here. This is a really cool dude I want you to meet, who I delivered a letter for. And Reiner is then shooketh.
He's like, Aaron? He's like, what up, Reiner? You thought I wouldn't spin back?
Yes.
But this conversation is actually really fascinating, because it's basically like the two of them, they're just having a conversation about their ideologies, their philosophies, and just how very similar they are, because Aaron's been in Marty for a good minute, and he learning everything about like their culture and like how Marleyans are basically, you know, brainwashing the Eldians to hate their own peoples. And he just like, and then overhead, they're listening into a certain declaration by Mr. Ty Wilbur.
Yes.
And then he's just like, all while up there, they're like, you know what? Let's declare war on the devils of paradise. Let's make them the world's enemy. And it's like, and then Reiner's just on his knees. I got down on my knees. He's like, listen, I know I messed up. I messed up a lot. And then Aaron's just like, listen, it's okay. It's okay. Okay, come on, get up. Let me hold your hand real quick. It's all right, because if I was in your situation, remember, we're the same. We have to move forward.
Yes.
And destroy all our enemies.
Oh my gosh. This was one of the wildest just turns in anime history. So he straight up eats Ty Wilbur.
Yep. a literal reverse of what happened. Aaron, the one that pulled up in Titan form to murk everybody.
That's the least of the egregious part. Like, the part where he jumped into the stands and took out the people.
Yes! Boom! Punches left and right. People died. People getting eaten left and right. Folks is unprepared. Folks is in shambles. You've seen people die on the... Like, while they're running. One of the main girls who was, like, with Gabby and Falco, crushed to death by rocks. People is getting folded left and right. And then here's some more egregiousness that happens. All right, so the servant of Wilbur turns out to be the Warhammer Titan. And she transforms. But mid-transformation, you just see a fist.
We not doing that around here.
To her face. He's like, nah, we do not let people transform around here. He breaking the anime rules.
Oh, my God.
Aaron Yeager is him.
So this is probably one of the top 101 fights. I mean, I feel like for 101 fights, it would either be one of the Reiner fights or this with the Warhammer, because it was like so intense. And then there was also jumping involved. So Aaron was initially getting pieced up by the Warhammer, because the Warhammer is able to use the crystallization much more effectively than almost every other Titan with that. And then also the Warhammer Titan doesn't exist within itself, that we find out. So Aaron is able to find out where the Warhammer Titan is, and he can't crush it by itself. So in terms of another violation that he committed, he took the Jaw Titan and put the crystal that the Warhammer Titan was in and used it as a nutcracker.
Just pure, he a pure demon. And then all the while, like, of course, all the Survey Corps, his peoples pulled up, murking folks left and right, nobody making it except for our cool character. Oh, nah, Armin's pull up is absolutely, is a bombshell, if you catch my drift.
Yeah.
Kaboom! So after the entire violation took place, all of Marley in shambles. And then Aaron basically gets arrested by Levi, because, like, listen, we spent a lot of resources coming to get you.
And it wasn't the plan for them, at least.
Exactly. Like, they were trying to wait out and make a new plan. And Aaron just goes and commits every single war crime in history. My bad. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's just say he's going down the Geneva Convention as the Geneva checklist. You know what I'm saying? But
But unfortunately, during this time, Gabby decided to pull up in the ship, took out Sasha. This is where she became irredeemable for me, but we're going to keep it moving because this is not about her. This is not about Sasha. But it is about what Aaron did after he finds out that Sasha's dead. He starts laughing. And there's a specific reason why he's laughing, but you don't find out till a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh my goodness.
So while he's arrested, essentially a lot is going on in the background, but we start to learn that this was a plan that he initiated with Zeke. And then they're also aware of it as well, his friends, but they didn't know it would go to this extent. So essentially, the overall plan is called the infertility plan, is what they frame it as, right?
Yeah, basically. I forgot the actual name of it, but...
But essentially, it's like all of the Eldians would stop having children. And then over time, that would mean their extinction. That's in order to stop war and their freedom, essentially.
Yep. And also, we can't forget about the Jaegerists. The Jaegerists became a movement of... Because essentially, as you mentioned, there's a lot of unrest within Paradise Island where... You get like a bunch of people who are in support of Aaron and his decision to go rogue and murk all the Marleyans. And then others, which is our main cast, who are just like, nah. But yeah, so the Jaegerists, Aaron breaks out of jail because he has the Warhammer Titan. He was just biding his time. So he escapes. He meets up with the Jaegerists. And then they're all like, all right, let's go find Zeke. Mm-hmm. And
oh, I love these next scenes, boy.
And then a pull up happens. So essentially Armin and Mikasa, they're interrogating Gabby. And I wanted them to torture her, but that's neither here nor there. But while that happens, just again, out of nowhere. Because again, Aaron had escaped. He basically is persona non grata. He is wanted suspect number one. He has 5 stars right now.
Yeah.
And he just pulls up in the room. He's like, what up? And he just raises his hand with that, which has a cut in there, letting him know, like, I could transform at any time. So
just chill.
So just chill out and let's talk. And he does. And he pulls off probably one of the greatest plans of all time because he knows. He can't beat Armin in an argument, and he can't beat Mikasa in a fight.
Lord have mercy.
So what he does, he beats Mikasa in an argument and beats Armin in a fight. So essentially, like, he says, like, hey, like Aaron, basically, he just taunts Armin. He's like, I know you've been visiting Annie. What you been doing? You know, you getting your pleasures together out there talking with her? And then, like, when Mikasa's, like, trying to defend her, he's like, I know you ain't talking, because it turns out with all the Ackermans, they, when they awaken, they have headaches. Mm-hmm. And it turns out these headaches are because of the fact y'all are subservient to your masters, and you will do anything for us like the obedient slave you are.
Jeez.
And I hate people like you. Crushes Mikasa's spirits.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because of that Armin decides to do one of the biggest pull-ups, and he just jumps over the table, socks Aaron right in the jaw, and Aaron just, delicious.
Violated his man.
Yeah, he violated him. He's beating the mess out of him. It's like, you want to know why in the world we never fought? Because I would beat your face in, boy. And then he just throws it to the table. He's like, Mikasa, hold down Armin. And she does, before realizing what she was doing. It's like, yeah, what I thought.
Oh, my gosh.
My goodness.
So with that, it gets into, I believe, Peek tries to recruit him. And she's trying to trick him, essentially. She's like, oh, I believe in your cause. And then he is standing on top of the garrison. Attacks happen. This is one of the best, just like chaotic scenes happening over the next course of the episodes. I can't remember if it was like the end of part one at this part, but chaotic part of the episodes. Mm-hmm. Essentially, like the goal he had to reach is Zeke, and if they touch, then they're able to, because Zeke, again, he's the daughter of Dina Fritz, meaning he has the royal blood in him. You need the royal blood to activate the Founding Titan powers. So a lot of fights happen, a lot of jumpings happen, and as
the violations happen.
Yes, and as the opportunity to touch each other happens, Aaron gets sniped with one of the cleanest snipes I've ever seen in anime. He literally gets his head blown off by Gabby, the number one shooter in anime history. But Zeke is able to catch it, and we get into one of the greatest twists and turns in anime history. This is one of the greatest days of anime that ever happened.
I remember this day too. It was
because it happened after the Demon Slayer episode.
Yes, it was the same day that Demon Slayer had one of the best fights of all of their entire series, along with the greatest pull up in all, greatest plot twist in all series. All right, here we go. So when they touched, they end up in kind of the
World Tree.
The coordinates, the world tree. I'm just gonna call it the world between worlds. Star Wars reference for y'all. So essentially they're in the other world, and Aaron, he's like, okay, what are we doing here, Zeke? And Zeke, like, he's bound off, like, he's in chains, and then he sees Ymir, like, just the young girl who's Ymir Fritz, and we get into the backstory. We get into the history, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And the history is that, you know, Ymir, she got done dirty by her village people, and essentially the king hunted her down, and she ran afoul. She gets shot, nearly dies, but come across this centipede creature that bonds with her, and she becomes the first ever Titan. And then the king uses her powers to take over the entire world, take over the kingdom. But then she dies saving the king's life, but that's not before the fact that they had children together, so they had the children eat the mom, and I believe it was three children who eat the mom, because their names were Maria, Rose, and Cena.
When they said that, I was just like, this is too good. This is too good.
Yep. And essentially, like, all that to say, like, she, like, even though she became deceased, she's still, like, subservient to the king and the entire royal bloodline. So all subsequent children could inherit the powers of the Titan by eating the spine of the various person, gain their abilities, but die in 16 years, which I believe is how old Ymir was when she died.
I was researching it, and it was like, when she got it, there was a 13-year gap between when she was a Titan and when she died, and that's why there's a limit for it.
Okay, so it was the time frame of how long she was Titan.
Yes, right, cool. Which is crazy, too. And like you mentioned, the fact that she was servient to Fritz, this ties into Aaron is not of royal blood, so he needs royal blood in order to activate the Founding Titan's power, but he is not subservient to the call of not to go to war, which is what we initially don't think he's trying to do with that. But there, it's always an option. So with that, Zeke is taking him through a lot of memories, and you're starting to see that there's some interactions that are happening that don't seem right. Like with both of their dads kind of seemingly talking to Zeke, and you're like, how does he see him? And it's because we start to learn that the Attack Titan is able to transfer memories, not just from the past, but also to the future, which is insane to think about. So then we get the scene where it's like, oh, I'm going to show you, Aaron, that our dad is evil. He took the Founding Titan power, again, of his own volition. So we see that scene of Aaron's dad. He's about to take the serum, yes, to eat the Founding Titan. And he has hesitations, and both of them are Zeke is confused, and Aaron is like, let me talk to you real quick, Pops.
He was pissed. He just like, get on your feet, Dad. I know you did not forget what you came here to do, my boy. Did you forget all of the Marleyans who died? Did you forget about your wife who got turned to a titan? Did you forget about your sister who got eaten by dogs? The auntie I never got a chance to meet?
Or if you don't take that sermon.
If you do not get up, move forward, and destroy your enemies right now, you know what you got to do. So yes, 100% Hall of Fame, gaslighter, instigator, D1 Hall of Fame right here. All right, and then from there, what happens is, like, we cut back, and Aaron is still in chains, and he's looking at Zeke with just pure devastation. He's just like, oh, hey, we ain't at the part where I ate him. And then Zeke, realizing what's about to happen, he's like, you mean, because he ends up having a conversation with Grisha, who tells him, like, hey, we got to stop Aaron.
I seen
what he gonna do. So while that's happening, Zeke's just like, Ymir, go make all the Eldians sterile. Do it now. And then she goes off. And then Aaron, like, still in chains, he rips like the skin off his hand so he can escape the chains and rushes up to Ymir, where he basically is like, listen, you are not a slave.
Yes.
I know you did what you did out of love for the king. You're not a slave. You're not a, you are a person, and you don't have to listen to a word they say, but please give me the power. Give me the power so I can right the wrongs that you have suffered through, and right the wrongs that we have suffered through. Give me the power and I will end the world. And then we get the scene.
Yeah, the rumbling occurs. The walls come crashing down and colossal titans walk the earth. Essentially, because there's a lot of talking in between but sticking so well on Aaron, we see the scene of the colossal titans learning how to swim, which was bananas. And Aaron, his neck is tied into like the centipede. It connects. So now that he has the full power of the founding titan, who is just the colossal skeleton and head. Abomination, if you will. And then he goes again to re-spin the block on Marley and the rest of the world with that. So that kind of wraps up the season 4 before we get into the different chapters, if that's, yeah, right?
So but before that, we do got to mention that at this point he makes the call. He calls all Eldians.
Yes.
And he makes the declaration, like, hey, listen, to the subjects of Ymir, I'm Aaron Yeager. I'm here to spin the block, and I'm just here to let y'all know that all of y'all tried to kill my peoples out here in Paradise Island. So I'm just letting you know, it's up for y'all. I'm going to wipe out all of humanity with the rumbling.
And here's the thing, like we mentioned, there are Eldians in Marley, and Aaron's goal is to destroy everything outside of Paradise Island. So it's up for them. So essentially with the next two parts, it's the main cast and focus are essentially the supporting characters. But with Aaron, just kind of moving forward to one scene, it's when they're talking, Armin and Mikasa, Jean, Connie, and the rest of the crew. They're like, hey, Aaron has the ability to stop us if he wanted to, because he can now clearly control all of the aliens. He has the Founding Titan and the Royal Blood. We saw earlier that the Royal Blood could wipe all of our memories, so if he wanted to, he could do that. And Aaron's like, I'm so glad you mentioned that, guys, because I'm listening in. And here's the thing, I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm granting you the freedom to keep moving forward. If you want to stop me, knock yourself out.
I'd like to see you try.
So that was scary, because it was like he was aware all the time. Then flash forwarding to chapter 2 of the final season of the final parts of that, but essentially we start to, they have the final fight scenes, don't have to go too in depth with that. And then we start to see that Aaron, he goes into battle with Armin. I'm literally going to the very end of it. Armin, Mikasa has to be the one to take him out. And we get a flashback of Aaron this entire time. Well, first he talks to Armin and he's just like, hey, I didn't know what to do. I was a slave to freedom my entire life, which is just a crazy thing to say, which is actually true. And I was too dumb to figure out what to do. Everything that I tried ended up in war and destruction. So I thought of the best plan that I could possibly do. This led to 80% of humanity being destroyed. And at this point where you're watching the show, you know, like, humanity is getting wrecked, but you didn't know it was 80%. So that was crazy. And then you see, like, hey, I actually did love Mikasa. He goes into full simp mode for a few minutes, but he's like, yo, I'm so sorry, Armin, for what I had to do. But the fact that you guys took me out, it gave you guys the opportunity to have a chance at peace in your lifetime. And for all of us Eldians in this period and for a few more centuries to be free, which is just crazy. And he essentially had this conversation with everybody that he knew in his life, which was beautiful.
Yeah, it's like he had this conversation with them at every single point. And he also explained to them that, yeah, when I touched Historia, I saw everything that happened up to now. Mm-hmm. And I tried changing the past, but every single time I tried, it led to the exact outcome I saw. So there was literally nothing I could do. And that's why I've been tweaking this entire series. But also, he then erases all of their memories of the event until the event of his death.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he also, again, he embraces Armin. He's like, listen, I'm just going to go to hell, because that's where I belong. And then Armin's like, no, we're going to go there together. And then it cuts to Eren being, well, not Eren, to Armin waking up. And then he sees Mikasa holding Eren's decapitated head. And when I tell you that those screams of just pure despair and sadness hit me like a brick, it hit me like a brick, my brother. But yeah, so Eren's dead. And also, we do got to mention, like, there was a kind of scene where Eren, I think, I don't know if this was Eren or not, but, like, there was, like, a dream sequence between him and Mikasa.
Yeah.
Where they were inside a cabin. Essentially, they were married. They were living a good life together. And it was, unironically, a flip of the first episode again, where Mikasa asks Eren, like, hey, why are you crying? And in the dream sequence, it was, like, Eren asking Mikasa, hey, why are you crying? Type deal. And he's just like, hey, you see Yama as a goat. But
and there was, I don't think it was at some point in season 4, but it wasn't like the final chapters. But there's a part where it shows when they were visiting Marley undercover, where Mikasa had the chance to tell Eren that she loves him. And if she were to have done it, I believe he said, I wouldn't have destroyed the rest of the world. Potentially.
Yep.
And yep. That's crazy. So again, just them having their moments together. Yeah.
Yeah. And what's even more saddening is that, like, he knew that she was going to say no. Well, she wasn't going to say anything. And it's just like, dang. So yeah, he buried her. Like, he's dead now. So,
mm-hmm.
So he's buried underneath the tree where they all gathered at the beginning of the series, where they'd like to nap at. And essentially everybody, like, they come visit Eren's grave before everyone eventually dies. And Armin's the last one left alive, because mm-hmm. Mikasa dies and she's buried next to Eren's grave, even though she marries John afterwards, which I'm like, dang.
Okay, so she definitely married John afterwards?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it, confirmed that she marries John. And I'm just like, dang, John, how's it feel to be number two?
I'll save my comments to all the podcasts.
I feel it'll be number two, my guy. But yeah, so that's the end of Eren. Like, he's dead. And then it's also revealed that, like, even though he achieved peace for right now, in, like, hundreds of years, the cycle repeats.
Completely, which is just insane. But the thing is, I feel like he accomplished what he could, and thus was technically successful, because he wanted it for his people and his friends more specifically. But again, he knew what the future held in store, which was crazy. So with the character study being wrapped up, again, we were talking about the philosophy of pain. So it's just crazy. Just like we talked about, obviously, pain from Naruto. We talked about Scar from Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood and going to Eren. In every situation, it was either while all of their parents or a family member was murdered before their eyes, essentially, and then their people were persecuted and destroyed to an extent. And that kickstarted the cycle. But the thing is, in each of those cases, it wasn't the start of the cycle. They were already within it, which is insane to think about.
Yeah, for sure. Like this, yeah, this, like literally this entire series is that cycle of hatred speech from pain, except it spans the entire series with zero resolution. And another thing that's like really crazy is just you see that object of hatred through Aaron, like throughout the entire series, like he hates something.
Yeah.
Like he has a direct line for like what his object of his hatred is. First, it was Titans. Then it was Reiner and Bertolt and Annie. And then it became all of Marley, which then became all of humanity, apart from Paradise Island.
Mm-hmm.
So each time, like, his scale kept growing and growing in terms of, like, what he viewed as a threat to his people. And he just saw, like, what he needed to do, which is destroy.
And it's crazy, like, you mentioned it, because it just re-hit me. The initial plan, obviously, there is one of the infertility thing where they couldn't have children. But, like, with the rumbling, all the rest of the walls dropping, we're just supposed to take out Marley. We don't need that many colossal, slash wall titans to take out this. And then it's like, oh, I'm trying to take out the rest of the world, which is, it's crazy because he's trapped in it, like you mentioned. And even something that was a really big reveal at the end, he had to send Dina to kill his mom, which is wild because he had that control over.
Yeah, and because of the fact the Found Titan transcends all time and space, like, he knew what he had to do, and he knew what path his past self had to go on. He had to experience some true pain, so he had to get his mom killed, which I was like, no.
That was one of the most heartbreaking parts of the show, honestly. And then something I wanted to say, like, obviously you hate Gabby, but what... In season 4, they flipped the story. Now, what if that was season 1, where the story is told in reverse from the Marleyan perspective? Gabby's just our Mikasa, and we're like, yo, we got to hit her on our squad. And well, Falco's
actually,
the main...
Actually, Mikasa... Actually, no, Gabby's more like the Aaron.
I feel like Falco is more, like, main character energy, and Gabby's more of the, oh, she's so cool, she's, like, more capable type thing.
I found Falco more like the Armin.
I mean, that's fair, but there's not a third person, which is the struggle that we're...
There used to be.
That's fair, but it's just crazy to think about it, even with the cycle of hatred. But one of the most impactful parts of the show, in my opinion, is when Gabby escapes and she's in Paradise Island and she runs into the family of, like, one of them that they knew, Sasha. And the girl is like, hey, why did my mom have to die? What did my mom ever do to you? And then Gabby is immediately like, oh, the Eldian devils, yada, 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 paradise, we have to stop.
What did my mama do?
Yes. Repeats it. And she's just froze up because she's like, I don't know. And I think, again, tying into real world stuff, sometimes it's so easy to label people as whatever label you want to put on them. That makes them my enemy. I have these definitions that other people give them, and it's like, what did they do to you? And it's like, remove the historical context. It's like, what did this individual person ever do to you? And you don't have anything to say.
Message. somebody needs to talk to somebody about that. But yes, like seeing her realize that her brainwashing is actually kind of cracked over the course of the series, and just seeing her remorse. Yeah, I can see how if the roles were reversed, if we saw everything from Gabby and them's perspective first versus Aaron and them's, we don't know. We don't know, like, how we might have been on their side. We might not have. I mean, again, they were... Actually, I know I wouldn't be on their side because they literally just went like, yeah, let's go to this village of people and just massacre them.
But I'm saying if you don't start there, if you start essentially season four, then you're like, oh my God, because what Aaron did was almost as probably worse than what Reiner did, because Reiner didn't eat anybody. I'm with you. You were one of the first Jaegerists that I knew, but I'm just saying. So to kind of wrap up, let's talk about Aaron's relatability and also popularity. Like, people vibed with his decision so much. Obviously, as the main character, kind of like we talked about, but if you want to even on that.
Oh, yeah. So there's been discussions and debates about, like, yeah, was Aaron wrong or was he right? You know, similar in the same vein of Thanos did nothing wrong or Zamasu was right type deal. It was like
the arguments you make.
Listen. Aaron was not wrong at all. He the man did what he had to do, and he knew exactly what needed to happen. There was no change in the outcome, so you know what? Might as well go full lean into it, you know what I'm saying? There was no solution. And again, it also proves, like, in the series, like, hey, I did not know what else to do. Like, there's literally nothing else I could do, and there's nothing, no other option. So I just went with what I knew best, and that was catching bodies. So
moving forward.
So yeah, I had to move forward, destroy all my enemies, Jaegerist till the day I die. But yeah, so like that just goes to show, like, again, a popularity angle, because of the fact that you, like, people are still debating to this day, like, was Aaron right in what he did? And I think a lot of it's partially because of the fact, like, hey, what would you do if you were in that situation? If you had experienced the death of your mother, you realize that you ate your daddy, you realize that in the future, you're going to kill 80% of humanity and then eventually have to die. Like, what would you do at that moment? Because in my opinion, at least for me, if I found out all that information from the end of season three, I'd crack too. Like, I would crack too, because it's like, what can I do? And I feel like a lot of people have that same type of discussion. And the fact that there even is a discussion in the first place lets you know how popular he is. And his relatability is just in the fact that, like, hey, his main motto is move forward and destroy my enemies. I don't see what else you need for people in life. Got to move forward in life, and sometimes you gotta destroy your ops.
And then even in terms of him cracking, if you want to kind of touch on again what he saw with Sasha, which made him laugh once he passed away.
Oh yeah, so essentially, like, one of the things he saw was like there was like a moment where they were reminiscing and she was talking about meat, and then like when you cut to that present moment, he asks on, like, hey, what was her last words? It was meat. And again, that 100% proved that there was, and that was the true reason he fully cracked, because, like, yeah, I'd probably crack, like, knowing, like, I'd probably die, but I'd still have that mini hope of, like, hey, I can perhaps change the future. Now I can pull my future trunks deal. But in this case, the fact that he saw that in his vision and then experienced it, that was it. He was full of despair. And it also goes in line with, like, with how the show was animated and how the manga was, is that, you know, and throughout the series, right, like, the characters are drawn, or, like, whenever they're, like, filled with despair, like, they'd have, like, lines going down their face. And, like, you see, and it only happened in, like, certain occasions with certain characters. But throughout all of season four, Aaron had nothing but those lines. Like, he was in full despair from when you saw him till the very end.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm like, dang, again, Isayama the GOAT. Because that is, like, a character detail, or, like, a visual detail that lets you know something is wrong with him.
And it wasn't even that he just saw the future. It was that he was experiencing the future, the past, and the present all at the same time, Mr. Manhattan style. And so he was experiencing trauma over and over and over again, which I think is what makes him so relatable, is that we see his early trauma. We see his motivations. We see his goals, where it's like, I want to save my people. this is my goal, and him fighting for that. We see the betrayals along the way with people that he calls his friends, and then you see people are literally getting eaten in front of him, who are his comrades and family and people that he loves. And it's just like, man, that suffering, it changes you, which again, with our philosophy of pain, all the other two characters that we covered, some people can take that trauma, it changes them, and but maybe they don't go that route, the rumbling route. But at the same time, for those that do, you can see, at least understand why. Again, the cycle of hatred, as we mentioned. So I think that's what made him really relatable, is that we rooted for him so strongly. So even when he did turn into what he turned into, it was just like, this is our guy. We understand his story. So unless you got anything else, we can wrap up for one of the greatest protagonists of all time.
Yep, let's wrap it up. Eren Yeager, the GOAT. Yeager till the day I die.
All right, so with that, we are going to get into, to wrap up the episode, our What's Hot. So that is what's hot in anime, movies, TV shows, books, comic books, anything else, manga. One thing that I have to immediately say is that in terms, since we're talking about hatred, Kendrick Lamar said how much he hates a certain person repeatedly. just as a note, we are recording last Tuesday of when you're hearing this, so a lot of other things are going to drop, but this just dropped today, and that was heat.
Bro, see, this is why you don't go after this man.
This is why
I was right.
Yeah, and watch, you're about to see a certain artist have to make an apology as well. I'm just saying. Good heavens, but also, again, what dropped the same day, aka today, was a trailer for Dragon Ball Sparking Zero, a new trailer called The Masters and Students, where it's revealed that you get Beerus and Whis, Yamcha, Krillin and Master Roshi, Kid Gohan and Piccolo, Adult Gohan and Videl.
No, you missed the part about Gohan that people
freaking out
about.
No, I said adult.
Right? Oh, you're right.
And let me cook, because I was saving him for last. Jeez. Of course, Android 17 and 18, but then finally, Future Trunks and Future Gohan. Now, why is everybody in an uproar? Because this Future Gohan has one arm, which the last time you saw him with the one arm, it was actually Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. But before that, the last time you saw him was in Dragon Ball Z Sagas in like 2000, all right? Because of the fact laws dictate that in video games, you can't play as a character who's dismembered, so...
See, so, really?
Yeah, that's literally how video games laws were like in the 2000s. So wow. You couldn't play as a character with one arm. So how they did it was that he fought, like he had a second arm, but it was basically limp the whole time.
Dang.
And he fight and use combos as if he was fighting with one arm, but he had just a limp one right there. And you're just like, just give him the one arm at this point. So yes, to see him. You actually have a fighting game where you can play as him with one arm. It's gonna be spectacular. This is why this game's game of the year. I take no suggestions, no other comments. It's game of the year. I don't care. But yeah,
it better not come out when GTA 6 come out.
Okay. Well, actually, you know, 2026 is when GTA 6 is supposedly coming out.
There's no release date for Budokai Tenkaichi.
With the way that they're releasing these trailers, my hope is 2025, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's about it. But if it comes out in 2024, then I'm like, we cooking. But yes, and in other news that also dropped today, if you're going to DreamCon like we are, go ahead and mark your calendars. You better make sure you have all your money in order, because the voice actor who portrays Miles Morales in the Insomniac Spider-Man games has just confirmed his attendance. So, yes, we got our boy. He gonna be there. He gonna be there, man. Najee Jeter. I hope I pronounced your name correctly. But yes, brother. Welcome to DreamCon. Yes, and then other than that, just basically the usual assortment since the last episode. You know, One Piece, Kaiju, number 8, all that good jazz. Comic books, much the same. And, like, Ultimate Spider-Man, stay heat. and then all that. So,
well, I heard Killadelphia dropped.
Oh, it did?
Maybe. I think I saw Blurred Without Fear talk about it.
Oh, that was basically a review of like the first couple issues, first volume. Yeah, you better have me going like, hold on, then there's more? But yeah, so that's pretty much the main announcements, at least as far as I'm concerned for right now.
For me, I think My Hero Academia drops over the weekend.
Yes, it does. It drops this weekend.
Yeah, so by the time you hear this, the first episode of the new season of My Hero Academia drops. Demon Slayer drops sometime in May. I don't recall when. It's like either mid-May or the end of May. So that season drops. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes dropped a new trailer, and it is also coming out the week that you are listening to it. We are going to do one of the most egregious movie reviews of all time. I think we're both going to love the movie, but the way we review it will not reflect that love.
But she's saying don't talk about them filthy monkeys.
Those dirty apes. So then a K-drama that I keep seeing reactors watch is Queen of Tears. Them is something that might be up your alley. It's like a Amazon slash horror type flick set in the 50s, kind of giving the Lovecraft Country vibes in a sense.
Hey, this is Queen of Tears?
No, Them.
Oh, Them. Okay.
Hold on. Like on Amazon Prime.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and take a look.
I've heard mixed reviews. Somebody that I know actually likes it, though, but from others, I've heard mixed. And then, yeah, you basically covered everything else. Only other thing is that there's a show on HBO Max, or just Max, if you want to get your Robert Downey Jr. fix. This is called The Sympathizer.
All right. Cool.
All right. Yeah, so only recommendations we can give are Attack on Titan, right?
Yep, Attack on Titan, and Attack on Titan, both the anime and manga. Go ahead, read it, watch it. You'll never be disappointed. And then for our plugs, we got our Instagram, our Twitter, X formerly known as Twitter, and our Threads account under Blurred City 22. Like, comment, subscribe, stay up to date on notifications, and be up to date on our release schedule and certain episodes. A Discord, LinkedIn, said Instagram page. We also have our YouTube and Patreon under Blurred City Pod, where if you want to donate a little extra cheddar on the Patreon, get access to exclusive episodes never before seen. We also have ourselves our email address, blurredcity22@gmail.com. That's where you can send episode suggestions. You send geek out freak outs, random fan theories, cute questions for our Q&A mailbag episodes. And also any general comments. If you're not a Jaegerist, then unfortunately, then your mail will end up in the spam box. So
that's where you can send your hate mail after we get done with Kingdom of the Planet Apes.
if you support any of those dirty apes, then you definitely gotta go to the spam folder as well. But yeah, and then of course for me, I'm the Jedi Ronin on Instagram, and then TikTok, which currently is a TikTok, all right. It's on a ticking time bomb, you know what I'm saying? It's on a clock, if you will. So Soulja Boy, if you want to act, you better act quickly.
Maybe we can buy it for $5, but then we have it like the secret funder is the original person. But then they might accuse us of espionage.
Hey, listen, I don't need any more heat on my back already as is.
That's fair.
I already have enough trying to conquer the world. So speaking of conquering the world, hey, what happened with Baldur's Gate?
Oh, I beat that. I destroyed the Nether Brain. I wifed up Bazel, and we're taking out Blacketh together. So
okay. But yeah, that's all I got.
So with my plugs, my individual author pages, we have my Instagram, Mitri_dash. That is METRI_DAS. That is @TheMadDash16. And if you're interested in my book, Phantom Reckoning, on Most Irregular Tale, that you can catch that on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. So as usual, we will leave, as we wrap up the Philosophy of Pain character study series, we will leave you some words of encouragement.
Remember, when you're dealing with life, you're dealing with stress, some trauma, or any type of pain that you experience, I just want you all to remember two words: move forward.
And I can't say it better myself. As we always say, it's not goodbye forever. It's just goodbye for now. And that's the Blurred City Podcast.
See you later. And in the next part, destroy your enemies.